Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Every day at noon on Grant and Danny, we spin you around the Beltway. What's going on in the world of DC sports that you care about? Coming up the 1 o'clock hour, got to get to the $250 million bailout or investment of the AAF. And we'll talk some Redskins free agency as well. But speaking of the Redskins, let's start the blitz with those Washington Redskins. Craig Hoffman joins us. He covers the Redskins for the radio station you're listening to right meow. Hoff, last night, Russell and Earl Fursey were kind of kicking around some potential cap casualties for the Redskins. They're in a dire strait. They've got to create some space here to be able to make some maneuvers to improve the football team. Who are some guys that might be restructured, and who are some guys that might be cap casualties for the Redskins?
Yeah, I think the most interesting one is Norman. Josh Norman is a guy that I think will refuse to restructure. It's going to be you pay me or you let me go. And ultimately, I don't know which way they're leaning right now. I think he probably is gone, which saves them a significant amount. I think it's $11.5 million in cap space. But, you know, there's still some dead money there. And he's also a very good player still and played really well towards the end of last year. And it's a really young room, so they need a veteran. So he's the guy that can make the biggest dent. But Zach Brown's the easiest one. He's definitely going to be gone. They don't have a place for him to play. They don't really want him in the locker room, and it's $6.5 million in cap savings. And then the restructure guys, Trent Williams would probably like a new deal, is one of the better left tackles in football, gets still paid a lot of money, extended out a couple of years, and it helps the cap number. Ryan Kerrigan could be in the same boat. They'd save a ton of money by cutting him. They're obviously not going to cut Ryan Kerrigan, but they could restructure, extend him out, you know, spray some of the guaranteed money, and that brings the cap number down.
Craig Hoffman has very little visceral fat. He joins us on the Beltway Blitz. Craig, if the Redskins do take a quarterback at 15, do we know who they like and who they don't? Have you asked anyone in the front office about Kyler Murray specifically yet or Drew Locke?
Yeah, I've had a couple preliminary conversations, and basically it's too early in the process to have real feelings. They were certainly intrigued by Daniel Jones at Duke. They liked him down in Mobile. You know, I think they're impressed with Murray. And the tape, the interview stuff was really weird. So I'm curious to see, as he's finally committed to football, how their opinions change. But they certainly did like the tape on Murray the more they watched him. Those are the two guys I have the most info on. I don't really know a whole lot about how they feel about Locke or any of the other guys quite yet. But the biggest thing to remember in terms of that timeline, we know a lot more, maybe not this time next week, but this time 2 weeks from now, is the coaching staff will have had a chance to really get to know them in Mobile, especially in Indy. After Jay Gruden wasn't able to go to Mobile, Kevin O'Connell did and has been talking to some of these guys, and even some of them knew prior from former Elite 11 stuff. But, you know, the organization as a whole gets a much better feel after this week in Indianapolis.
Craig, among their own free agents, what do you think they'll do? Is there anybody that you feel like they'll just, even though they're not much cap room, they're going to pony up and keep? Preston Smith will get a pretty penny because he's an outside pass rusher and he's a human being with a pulse. Jamison Crowder, they need playmakers on the outside. If he's healthy, he's effective. Ty Nsekhe, a depth guy. Who do you think they'll make room for and figure the rest out later?
Yeah, I don't think there's any of those guys that really stand out where they're going to truly pony up. Like, there's some guys I think they'll at least poke around on and re-sign or be in contention to re-sign based off the number. Like, if Crowder doesn't get the money, then sure, they would love to have Jamison Crowder back, but it's a pretty weak wide receiver class, and Jamison's good. I think he probably winds up elsewhere being out of the amount of money they would like to pay, especially with Trey Quinn waiting in the wings. I think Preston Smith, it's going to depend on, you know, you have so many pass rushers that are going to be out there, but a ton of them are going to get franchise tagged. Preston's not going to get that. So how far up the list of premier actual available pass rushers is he, if you even consider him a premier pass rusher, which I think it's probably a little strong in the verbiage there, but like, it's going to depend on the money with him. So in terms of like pony up and pay, I don't think there's anyone. I think AP is maybe the closest to that, where they might be willing to pay a little bit more just because they see an investment in him as an investment in Darius Geis, because that's the best mentor they could ever ask for. But I don't think there's anybody of their own guys that they're like, man, we have to keep this guy no matter what, especially considering how thin they are in the cap space.
Thank you, Craig.
You got it. See you guys.
Let's talk baseball. Dave Jagler is one of the voices of the Nationals. You hear him each night here on 106.7 The Fan throughout the season on the call from the broadcast booth at the ballpark. Dave, have you kind of given up on the idea that Bryce Harper is going to be a National, or have you not turned the page yet?
I've not totally closed the book, but I would say close to giving up. I'm sort of resigned to maybe that it's going to be the Phillies, but you know, you're starting to see the tweets come out last night. Well, that maybe he's not in love with the idea of playing for Philadelphia. So until the ink is dry and he has had another jersey put on his back, I haven't totally shut the door. I would love if it's not the Phillies. But again, I'm pretty satisfied with what Mike Rizzo was able to accomplish this offseason and excited about seeing the ball club in our first broadcast on Saturday.
Yeah, Jags, it's inevitable. I mean, until Bryce Harper, as you said, the ink is dry somewhere else, it's going to be a story. I get the sense that the guys down there are probably already sick of talking about it or trying to avoid talking about it, if that makes sense. What's, for you, the biggest story heading into this season? After what, you know, for the group with high expectations, justifiably so, had such a quote-unquote down year, what are the storylines to you that you're tracking?
Well, you know, number one, I'm looking forward to seeing what Trevor Rosenthal can bring to this bullpen. I'm excited about the possibility that could be a big time under the radar signing. You know, rotation depth is always big. Anibal Sanchez is right up there in the Tim Hudson Nats killer all-star team. And for him to finally be on their side, excited to see what he can bring. But there are durability concerns with both he and Jeremy Hellickson in the back end of the rotation, and you have Fetty and Ross in the minor leagues. So, you know, can you get a full season out of Strasburg? Rotation depth is going to be a big story. And as far as position players, you know, what we saw from Juan Soto last year is Victor Robles the guy who contends for a Rookie of the Year this season. If he does, that could be a big-time boost because you figure he's probably not going to hit at the top of the order with Eaton and Turner there and Soto in the middle. But if he gives you something at the bottom of the order, power and speed, this could be a special lineup.
I also think this could be a year where Anthony Rendon gets some credit that he hasn't gotten in Bryce Harper's shadow for a long time. And Trey Turner is kind of become a guy now we expect to be what he was the last couple seasons, but there's still a little upside and ceiling he hasn't tapped into yet in terms of some star potential. Maybe one of those guys on the left side of the infield is even better than anticipated, and they're both great players.
Yeah, isn't it funny, Grant, that Anthony Rendon has not made an All-Star team?
I mean, it's a shame.
You think about how well he's played, and he's generally, you know, in the top five to top ten in the National League MVP. Yet he hasn't had that respect to be either voted in by the fans or the players to the All-Star game. So you're right. I mean, maybe this is the year that he takes that leap forward as far as prominence. I mean, people in the game know who he is, but does he take that step forward? As far as Turner, you know, Turner had, to me, kind of an up-and-down season last year. I mean, there seems to be so much more there, and he burst onto the scene in 16. You know, he played every day, obviously, and put up some good numbers. I'd like to see more, and I think Davey Martinez is going to challenge him to try to bring out more. I mean, you know, he stole, what, you know, 45, 46 bases last year. To me, he can be even more of a disruptor than he was last season.
Jags, you're always a disruptor. Appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you.
I'm ready to disrupt Saturday night at 6:30.
I love it, man. I can't wait to hear you on the radio calling baseball games. Thanks, Jags. Enjoy it.
All right. See ya.
See ya, buddy. There he goes. That is Dave Jagler, and that is the Beltway Blitz. It's how we do it. We've got a little bit of Capitals news that I think we need to get into, Grant. So we will do that. Plus, are the Redskins locked into quarterback in terms of the upcoming NFL draft? Grant Danny here on The Fan. Grant Danny here on The Fan. Another mock, another quarterback to the Redskins. We'll get to that in a moment here, but a little bit of Capitals news we want to pass on. This via the interwebs, via the Twitterverse, looks like Devontae Smith-Pelly, playoff hero for the Capitals, is going to be placed on waivers. And we could bring in GP, you and Thommy probably would be more able to quantify what this exactly means for him and for the Capitals. But it sounds like maybe a trade in the works. It sounds like maybe this is part of a series of moves that are to be determined. But DSP placed on waivers by the Caps, what does it mean?
Well, he's played in 54 games this season. He's got just 4 goals, and he's now creeping up on 35 games without a goal. A couple of things. First of all, their fourth line right now is in flux. They've got their top 9 sorted out in a way that come the playoffs, they will want their top 9 aligned. Right now, Todd Reirden doesn't know who's going to be on the fourth line. Nick Dowd is probably going to be the center. They brought him in this season. He's their second-best guy at the faceoff circle. The biggest problem they have is winning draws. And so recently this week, they had Chandler Stephenson playing center. Analytically, it was not productive, and he's not good enough at faceoffs probably to keep doing that. So I would think Dowd will be the guy, and the question is who's going to be on his wings. I've kind of thought they were hoping that Stephenson and Smith-Pelly would step forward. They both played during the cup run very well for the Capitals last year, Danny. Devontae Smith-Pelly had 7 goals in 75 regular season games and then 7 goals during the postseason. And he was a Stanley Cup hero. You'll never be able to take away from him his accomplishments here in D.C. Without him, the Caps probably don't win the cup, and that's how his time here is going to be remembered. But he was brought in 2017, 2018 last year as basically a back-of-the-roster fourth-line type, a guy that may or may not have kind of gotten you through the season and been in the rotation. Maybe he could have been scratched at the beginning of the year for certain games, ended up missing 7 of them. By the end of the year, he'd been a mainstay. He was contributing. He was scoring goals, and he was massive in the playoff run. And then he regressed kind of back to where he's been at different times during his career this year. Remember how the season started, by the way?
Yeah.
We were at Kettler, and he wasn't on the ice yet. And there was this weird back and forth between him and Todd Reirden. There was speculation maybe he was out of shape and he wouldn't go into it on our show. But Reirden wasn't letting him practice, and he was behind everybody else and finally played in the last preseason game. So I feel like he's kind of been behind the eight ball all along. And at this point, just isn't producing. Dmitry Yashkin's a big body who plays a heavy game that they might want to see getting closer to the playoffs now. And as Tom speculated, I was talking to him during the break, maybe there is a deal coming. But placing him on waivers, I would have to imagine he's going to find a home pretty easily. You know, he plays a caliber of hockey where his game's going to elevate in the playoffs. And so maybe a contender brings him in. Because it's not just that Caps run he had, Danny. He did this before, remember. If you go back in the postseason years ago, he had another epic playoff run. This is something he's done now on multiple occasions. I think his game just translates well. He had 5 goals in 12 games with the Ducks back in 13-14. So I think he'll get a job. Maybe he just doesn't mesh with Reirden, or it's not working right now, but the Capitals have 4 or 5 guys for 3 spots. Travis Boyd, Nick Dowd, Chandler Stephenson, Dmitry Yashkin, all deserving some playing time. And DSP, I guess, was becoming the odd man out.
Well, GP, you know me. I'm a hockey fan. I like the Capitals, and I'm a novice compared to you guys. But I always think of it this way. You don't have guys like DSP on your team for 82 games of the regular season. You have guys like that on your team for those postseason moments, right? That Joel Ward dirty goal kind of moment. Not just to compare him to another black player, but I just mean the grinder that's not going to – he's not there to score 25 goals. He's not there to put up 50 points. He's there to win puck battles when the games are tighter, when the defensive struggles are the way that they are, when everything is so tense come postseason. He's there to be on the penalty kill. He's not there to put up big offensive numbers. And the sentiment that I have, or the way it looks to me, I mean, I think of everybody's always enamored for the 82 regular season games with the explosive offensive defenseman, the puck-moving defenseman. That's all nice. I care about the guy that's going to prevent goals and block a million shots come postseason time. You know what I mean? The guy that Brooks Orpik is supposed to be. So, to me, you don't have him on this roster to put up goals in the regular season. Yeah, the whatever it is now, close to a 40-game goal drought isn't ideal. You'd prefer that he obviously was putting up some points here and there. But to me, this is you keep these guys around for what happens in the springtime, for what happens in these tight 7-game series.
That's kind of what I thought was happening, honestly. Because, Danny, he kept playing night in and night out. He wasn't being scratched all that often. I mean, they've got a little bit of a rotation right now where they'll sit, whether it's Stephenson or him or Dowd, here and there just to keep everybody fresh. Because, again, there's 5 guys for 3 spots. But for the most part, he was the right wing night in and night out on that fourth line. And the reason behind the scenes, I thought, was, and the guys at NBC Sports Washington I talk to most often, was Reirden was going to give him and Stephenson every opportunity to basically be the guys in the playoffs again, because seeing's believing, right? You saw last year what this team was, and when they were at their best and they won the cup, Devontae Smith-Pelly was right in the thick of things as a major part of their playoff run. So, yeah, I think that what you're saying is true. I think that they know he's probably a better playoff player than a regular season player, but they've got to get to the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, the Metro division right now is upstart. If you look at the standings in the NHL and the Metro, you see that the New York Islanders are not slowing down under Barry Trotz, and the Capitals coming into play tonight find themselves still 3 points back. And then they've got some teams hard charging right behind them. They're trying to fend off the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are a win behind them. They are 2 points better than Columbus, but Columbus has played one game fewer. So they've got the game in hand, as we call it. The Hurricanes are rolling right now, 68 points. I mean, they've got a goal margin that's almost even with Columbus. I don't think the Flyers can get back into the thick of things, but they've been much better of late.
They've played well lately, yeah.
Yeah, I guess my point is there's five teams in this division who all think we can make the playoffs. And I don't think the Capitals can just keep saying, well, when we get to the playoffs, everything's going to be fine. They got to right the ship, and they got to figure out a way to, A, get to the top of the Metro, but maybe more importantly, B, feel good going into the playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if they made a trade. I've thought all along they need to get someone who can win draws, and that's probably got to be a center, right? The problem is I don't know where that guy fits on your roster unless it's just a fourth-line center, Jay Beagle type, who's really good at faceoffs, because generally you're not bringing in a wing to do that. And I would have liked to have seen them add like a third-line wing. And maybe you can move Andre Burakovsky, and then with Lars Eller and Brett Connolly, you get a guy who's a 20-goal type scorer to play on that third line. That would be kind of my dream scenario. I'm not sure if they could pull that off. They may just stick with Burakovsky as their offensive threat on that third line, try to get a fourth-line center, and maybe have Dowd, you know, as a extra piece. But Dmitri Ashkin's going to get a chance now without Smith-Pelly playing night in and night out that people have been calling for all season. I've liked what I've seen from him. He just hasn't gotten the consistent playing time that some of the other guys have.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that they're not counting their chickens, saying once we get to the postseason, he'll come in handy. They're saying we're not in the position we want to be in. Too many losses to Anaheim. Too many, you know, giveaway games against some bad teams here. We should be maybe 10 points ahead of where we are, but we're not. This is where we are, so we got to deal with it accordingly.
By the way, how about the Islanders? How about Barry Trotz?
I know, right? I know.
As a Caps fan, oh, that's a killer.
Yep. And it's, you know, you wonder.
Definitely wonder.
Yeah, if it was about money, remember the story last year.
What
better time to give money than the guy that just broke the one that Stanley Cup for you? But to me, this is about bottom six production right now. I mean, yeah. Yes, when Ovi's got two goals and everybody's, you know, when Oshie's rolling and that's all well and good, Kuzi engaged, that's awesome. Top six is going to be top six, I think. I trust that about as much as I trust anything. They need consistent bottom six production. And again, nobody's talking about 25 goal scorers here, but more than they're getting on a nightly basis, I think, will help kind of sustain them in this run.
Fahmy, crashing the net tonight, I'm sure you'll be covering this. Do you think this is the first of a couple moves, or do you think this is just something they've decided to do because they're not getting what they need to out of him?
Well, I do think it's a part of the move because it's interesting that it was pretty clear this morning that Dmitri Ashkin was going to go on waivers, and then they pulled DSP off the ice during practice, and you never saw Yashkin again. So either it got out that Yashkin was going somewhere or was going to be put on waivers, and maybe a general manager called and said, we know that this player is not going to fall to us in the waiver scheme because it goes in the reverse order, worst to first, you know. So maybe they called and offered a sixth or seventh round pick to make a small minor deal to get Yashkin, and then they still wanted to clear at least one spot, and that's why DSP went on. But I guess we're going to have to see as the day continues.
For you, Tommy, what's the target in terms of a move? Do you agree kind of with Grant's assessment in terms of what they need?
Yeah, I would say probably a sixth defenseman. If I had to choose, that would be my priority. But
to bump Bowie out of the lineup?
Right, but the face-offs are a problem, and you do need to square up the bottom six, but I think it's going to be interesting. And Grant talked about the rotation where, you know, you can put Boyd in center. You can put Dowd in center. It looks like for tomorrow night against Toronto, it's going to be Dowd as the fourth line center with Boyd on the right side and Chandler Stephenson on the left side. All of those people can take faceoffs. So if they can somehow get someone to kind of jump in and win that role, maybe you don't need to go and trade for a center, but you always want a right-handed defenseman to be at your sixth defenseman. So I would say go for that.
Well, you know, one thing I would say, Danny, too, is if they go get a sixth defenseman, which I think is smart, right? They did it last year. Kempney struck gold. They even got Yerebik as well, although he didn't end up playing a whole lot. Bowie, for the most part, has been the odd man out already defensively. You know, the pairings can alter here and there, but it's Orlov, Niskanen, Juice, Carlson, Orpik, Bowie. So I guess you would slot that last guy in with Brooks Orpik. And imagine if they could, for the second time in two seasons, get a puck mover who could help them a little bit. You're not going to get a Kempney 2.0. The fit with Carlson was just too good. But if you could find a way somehow to give you some type of contribution there with Brooks Orpik, remember how good Orpik was in the playoffs last year. He hadn't been at that level by any means in the regular season. This year, you're paying him a lot less, luckily. But it's not like his game doesn't translate pretty well to that second season either.
So that's the update. Devontae Smith-Pelly is on waivers. What that exactly means will be, you know, kind of play out here over the next 24 hours. Either someone's going to claim him or he'll be sent to the minors, released, etc. But it could be a precursor to a larger move for the Capitals. Next, another mock draft, another quarterback to the Redskins. We'll tell you who it is, and are the Redskins definitely taking a quarterback at 15? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Grant and Danny Radio program here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Danny, he's Grant, he's in West Palm. I'm looking out the window at freezing rain. And the update is pretty much every flight out of DCA is delayed. Ours hasn't been delayed yet, but it is a matter of time. I see Dar again wearing out that refresh button. It's still green, but it's going to be turned to yellow at some point. We won't be taking off on time. I can pretty much guarantee it.
I think it's a victory, though, that at 12:35, I believe it's 12:35 in D.C., isn't
it? That is correct, yes.
It's 12:35 and some change, maybe 12:36 even here. We're 1 minute ahead, as you know, at West Palm Beach.
That's right, yes.
Florida time.
As the world turns.
I think it's a win that your flight has not been delayed yet, though, at least in the way of what is published and what has been sent to you. Because you should be – my phone was already blowing up with texts last night that I'd been delayed twice by now this close to my flight. The fact that you're closing in on go time and they haven't sent you anything, I think that's a really good sign. Although I guess it could be terrible because they're just not going to communicate and you're going to get there and sit at your gate for 5 hours. But so far, so good, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's that one. I mean, obviously the best scenario is that we take off at the time that's allotted. All the flights around us are delayed, and maybe they just haven't gotten around to updating our board yet or the electronic system that tells us that. But I can't imagine a scenario. I guess I suppose I could. But to me, the most likely thing that's going to happen is we race to the gate because we got to hurry up and get there. Our flight leaves at 3:30. The show ends at 2.
Oh, no. You're going to be running. I feel so bad for Dar.
No, you shouldn't because you need to get to your destination.
You normally sprint. You already are telling me you're in a rush. This is going to be a new level of Danny Ruye.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously need to get there. That's the whole point of going. But it's going to be bad. We're going to get there to hurry up, and then we're going to wait and wait and wait. We're going to have a Grant and Charlotte type experience. So
I couldn't believe, by the way, last night, Danny, the number of – have you ever slept at an airport or stayed overnight?
Not overnight. I've had a 10-hour delay once on AirTran coming home from Atlanta.
That's close enough,
I think. Yeah, that was bad.
I couldn't believe the number of people that were there, the number of people who were comfortable laying on the ground, the number of people who were comfortable sleeping in public. And the other thing I couldn't believe, this is a weird take, but I think you'll be able to relate to this maybe at your, you know, you're 9 years older than I am. I can't picture my parents, like, overnight in an airport trying to sleep on a floor. My dad is getting up towards 70. My mom is in her mid-60s. At some point, you just go get a hotel or you fly another day or something's got to give here. There were, like, super old couples. I'm talking about people in their 80s and like the rocking chairs in Charlotte. I saw this one couple. I don't know where they were going or why they had to be in the airport, but they were so old and
they were
laying on the ground. And I'm thinking, you're not a child. This is young people's work. I'm doing this because I'm an idiot. Why are you here?
You always then wonder, like, what else is going on in their lives where you feel like, don't you have a decision? Can't you do something about this?
There's got to be a better way for
you earned the right to not have to do this anymore? When I was 22 coming back from Atlanta, I didn't have money to spring for a hotel. I didn't have money to do anything. I didn't even have money for that original flight that somehow I was on it. I was at the whims, the mercy of the AirTran fake polite You know what I'm talking about? We're like, it's okay, sir, let me just check on that for you. I actually hate your guts. But, like, was that kind of person who, like, whatever you said would just turn around and they were saying nice things on the surface so that if there was a transcript, they would have checked out. But they knew they were basically saying, and here's the middle finger for you, and here's the second middle finger. Why don't you go sit down over there and follow around a piece of lint, and you could just die in a fire. And it was just so annoying. Every answer that they gave was just never satisfied.
Each answer got more annoying than the last.
They knew that we weren't going to take off for hours and just kind of slowly would roll out the information.
And here's the problem is they don't really have the information that much earlier than you do sometimes. And even if they do, they can't do anything about it. That is the ultimate shooting of the messenger scenario, where a lot of times, like, we couldn't fly, not because anything was going on in D.C., but it was nasty, cold, rain, sleet, all kinds of stuff here in Charlotte where I was last night. So getting the plane from Charlotte to D.C. was the problem. I will say I didn't see anybody screaming at people, which was nice. I try to be so pleasant to the people that are giving you the bad news because you know they're just getting pummeled and eviscerated by everybody. The one time I almost snapped, though, on this trip, and I did well. I held it together. But I just very calmly basically said that I'm not doing what you want me to do. I had kind of played all their games.
I'm not going to be doing that.
I had stuck to the script. I'd done everything they wanted. I had gotten to the airport on time, then been delayed 4 hours and been there for several hours. And I'd never said a peep to anybody, and they didn't tell me anything. Just one terrible thing after another. They don't want to give me a hotel. They don't want to pay for the hotel that I've now gotten that I can't get to. They're not doing anything to help me because it's weather and it's not their fault. And I'm just supposed to take this lying down literally and figuratively. So there I am all night long in Charlotte. And everything's fine. You booked me on a flight that's after when I need to be at my radio show, and you've taken all these liberties to do all the things you have to do. Well, today at 7:30, I'm about to get on this flight, and I'm Group 8. And they said, if you're in Group 8 or Group 9, you've got to check your bags. We've run out of room for your bags. Well, you may remember that I'm landing at 9:30. The show's at 10.
Ah, yes.
If everything happens exactly as it needs to, I'm planning on getting to the ballpark at 10, and I ended up getting there at 10:04. And so she said, you know, very politely, I'm going to need you to just check your bag. I said, well, am I going to get it off of the plane? She said, no, you're going to have to get it at baggage claim. And I just very quietly, I said, can I talk to you for a second? And she's like, yes. And I was like, do you mind if we go over here? And she's like, you could tell me here. I was like, okay. Because I didn't want to embarrass myself.
No, right, right,
people.
Of course. Because my thing is very important.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I literally started it. This was my exact speech. I said, I'm not a hero. I'm not different than anybody else. But I was supposed to fly out last night, and my flight got delayed 4 times, and I missed my connection, and I stayed here overnight all night, and I'm already late for a very important meeting at 10 a.m. I'm not going to be checking my bag. I need my bag in my hand. I need to get off that plane as soon as I can, and I need to be at my meeting as close to 10 a.m. as possible. So whatever you've got to do is fine, but I'm not going to be checking my bag. And she just kind of looked at me for a second. And again, I wasn't being a jerk, but I was just letting her know that I knew that this wasn't happening. And she goes, well, I can't change what group you're in. And I said, I'm not asking you to. I'm just going to get on the plane with my bag, and I'm going to find a place for it. And she just didn't say another word to me the rest of the time. And that worked out for us. Our relationship, I'll never see her again.
Yep.
She might hate me. Everybody's fine and better off for that.
I mean, you're a story now, obviously, for her. You're an anecdote where she'll call upon the one time this one guy was a jerk because he thought his meeting was so important.
But do you think that counts as a jerk? Because
no.
I didn't do anything mean. I just said, listen, I've taken all your slaps to the face like love taps. I can't. This is the line now.
I think it's fine. I'm not willing to do that because I don't have any confidence and I'm too awkward and I just blindly accept. Like when an officer gives me a ticket, I thank him. You know what I mean? Like that's just the kind of level I am. My insurance is going to go up and I owe now the local municipality some money and it's an inconvenience. Thank you for delivering me this ticket.
Situation, couldn't you have pulled it off?
No.
I mean, again, if you have your bag, you can get to the show at 10:05. If you don't, that's like a 10:40. That's 40 minutes probably, baggage claim nonsense.
Oh, I know. I would have just accepted it. I would have been like, well, I'm in Group 8 after all. There's nothing you could do about that. I would have just taken it. I would have just taken it, and it sucks. It's the worst thing about me.
Milton Rouye is traveling.
Well, here we go again. Group 8 or 9, I probably will have a middle seat, and I have to hold my bag under my baggage. Gross. We still haven't gotten to the Redskins drafting a quarterback. I still
do you think
do
we
that.
Will or we won't?
No, we're doing that because we got another. Dara has a dire straits update for us. It sounds like we're just not even going to take off now. I mean, we'll see what happens when we come back. But I do want to get into this. Another mock draft is the Redskins taking a QB, and I promise we will do that next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Got to talk bailouts for the AAF. Got to talk about the talent level. A prominent football writer, Casey Joyner, had everybody in the NFL broke down 10 different position groups, rated their talent 1 to 10 at those groups of what's on the roster as of the moment. The Redskins, spoiler alert, aren't terribly highly rated in several areas, which may be perceived as areas of need. We will do that in the 1 o'clock hour as well. But GP, I've been trying to get to this for an hour, and it's my own fault that we haven't. But the latest CBS Sports mock draft from Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports has the Redskins taking yet another quarterback. This quarterback happens to be Daniel Jones of Duke. He, for a while, was the belle of the ball, right? Everyone kind of has Dwayne Haskins, for the most part, at number one. A couple guys don't. I mean, you could find your draft expert that's got someone over somebody else just to get their stuff read, et cetera. But Jones was the guy that, well, there's this Cutcliffe connection and Peyton Manning and his pro-style system, and now he's ready. He's the next guy after Dwayne Haskins, but he's on the board at 15, according to this, and the Redskins select him. First, opening thoughts, Daniel Jones at 15 to the Redskins.
Well, big body, 6'5 and 220, and as you said, the connections, the coaching, the fact that you're talking about, you know, the Manning boot camps and David Cutcliffe leading him, I predicted all along this is a guy that's going to kind of be in the top 10 mix because of all of those variables. He's your prototypical, I'll get better when I'm not playing games kind of passer. Couple of issues with Daniel Jones come from the numbers, really. He completed under 57% two seasons ago and just 60% this past year. You look at his touchdowns and his interceptions, they're not very good either. He had 14 touchdowns and 11 picks in 2017 compared to 44 and 13 for Drew Lock, as an example, last year. Then this past season, 22 touchdowns and 9 picks in the ACC against 28 and 8 for Drew Lock. Now, Drew Lock plays in a much more pass-happy offense against defenses in the SEC that I would say are largely better, but they're in a lot more shootouts, generally speaking, based on style of play in Missouri, and so some of those numbers are going to come a little bit easier. I actually like Daniel Jones as a project. The problem is he's going to get dramatically overdrafted. When you're talking about him in the top 10, the top 12, top 15, that's not what this guy is. He looks a lot to me like a bigger-bodied kind of NFL-built Christian Ponder type coming out of school. He should have mid-second, you know, late second round written all over him, more like a Will Greer. But you look at these guys like Locke, who's 6'4", 225 out of Central Casting, who have the arms to make every throw, and they're going to go in the middle of the first round. You know my take on the Redskins drafting a QB. I'm in on it. I have no problem with it, and I wouldn't hate doing it again next year if they have to. I think they've got to do something to provide a jolt to the fan base. They've got to do something to not only put butts in seats, but to give them a chance to be better offensively. We know what Colt McCoy is, and you're destined for double-digit losses. If you go into the season with him and Josh Johnson, you might be able, if you draft, you know, the right rookie, and I'm not sure that Jones is that guy or that Locke is for that matter, to do a little bit better than that and to find a quarterback of the future.
To me, he's very Josh Allen-y, right, where excuses have to be made for performance, where you go, well, he didn't have good receivers, or they weren't playing in the right kind of system, or something like that. Now, some people like Josh Allen. I know you were pretty high on him after the Senior Bowl last year.
Love the physical tools.
To me, I'm just out of the business of guys that don't put up great numbers. I think of Phil Rivers at NC State years ago. They're going up against Florida State, Clemson, you know, the nastiness in the ACC like everybody else, and he puts up juggernaut video game numbers even there with, you know, NC State talent. It's not as if they're little sisters of the poor, but they're not close to what Florida State's offering on a nightly basis. I know he played at Duke, and you're not going to get as good a player at Duke as you are, you know, going up against it, Clemson at Florida State, as I've kind of already mentioned. And their schedule is going to be tough for them because they're just okay. But I need more. It's not as if I'm pouring over Duke film to look at Daniel Jones. I couldn't tell you much about him other than, you know, the couple of times I saw him. And to me, it's like he looks the part, you know, the tall, chiseled, handsome 6'4" guy that looks like a quarterback, but that's just what we know, that guys sometimes look like quarterbacks, and other times guys that don't, like Kyler Murray, can put up incredible numbers. So I'm out of that business in general.
One thing I'll say, though, Danny, is he's not going to put up numbers like a Drew Lock will because of the offense that he's in. You know, and it's not like they don't throw the ball. They obviously do. But it's a little bit more pro style and more traditional offensively than a huck it, chuck it, kind of spread you out five wides all the time. But I agree with you. It's not necessarily the numbers that he doesn't put up. It's the ones that he does. The touchdowns and the picks being so close together. And Dar turned me on to the completion percentage.
That's the one I looked at,
ago. I mean, that is alarming, right? Accuracy matters. Now, I can't pretend, and you said the same thing, I can't tell you I went back and I watched every throw in every single game. So to just look at the numbers in a vacuum and say what he is probably isn't necessarily fair. But I can tell you this, the dude's got a big-time arm, and he makes some really nice deep throws. There's great highlight packages out there of some of the home runs that he's hit vertically down the field in stride. I think he throws a beautiful deep ball in that 35 to 45-yard range. It's a timing throw. It's a touch throw. There's loft. He kind of drops it into the bucket. Not necessarily line drives or anything like that, but that's really, when he's at his best, it's at 25 to 40 range in the NFL where you're kind of dropping a ball in with a little bit of that lollipop feel.
Mm-hmm.
He's also great putting touch on the ball into the end zone on some of those fades and things in the deep corner. And he's got the arm to throw the deep out as well. He's a top six player in every category in the history of his school as a passer. So I think sometimes you got to compare him to like some of his peers in that offense as
that
well.
That makes sense.
Because, again, you're talking about 7,700 passing yards at Duke. That's going to translate. There's an exchange rate there compared to some of these other schools.
All right, so I want to get your answer to this when we come back. And I want fans' answers to this as well. At 800-636-1067. This is, by my count, is that right, Dar, the third different mock draft that has the Redskins taking, or at least a third different quarterback that has been mocked to the Redskins, right? Kyler Murray, we've known.
In the last 2 days,
in the last couple days, yeah. Daniel Jones now from Duke, and you've also seen Drew Lock out of Missouri. It sounds like conventional wisdom says all signs point to the Redskins taking a quarterback. We think that for our own reasons, right? Because they need some marketability, something you touched on here a moment ago, for a fan base that's kind of exhausted and tired and doesn't have much to be giddy about going in the next year. They need to put something in the season ticket renewal forms. They got to get people excited in some way. No better way to gin folks up than to have a new quarterback in tow. Does it seem that they're locked in? Are the Redskins locked in to the quarterback spot in the upcoming draft? You see the mock drafts. You see conventional wisdom. All signs point that way. Is this just, is this what's happening? 800-636-1067. That's next. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.